Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the sun and fun capital of the world. This is Scary Chat with Dr. John Stamey. That's me here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and with one of my very, very, very best friends who's up there in the cold Niagara Falls, Canada, Mark Johnston. Mark, before you say a word, how cold is it up there?
It's not so bad. I'd say 30-something degrees, 35 degrees.
Oh, Jesus, it's like 61 and I'm free. It's 61 and I'm freezing down here.
Yeah. I like the winter. It's a nice time of year. It's one of my favorite times of year, even though it's cold. It's still nice. But I'm looking forward to when the sun, more sunshine and more outdoor things. I want to go out fishing and hiking and soon. So spring's around the corner.
That's right. And we are certainly looking forward to having you. It looks like you're going to be able to get to come to the Georgia Bigfoot Conference April 16th. In Clayton, Georgia, doesn't it?
Looks that way. Looks optimistic that the borders probably they're really strict with restrictions in some regards, almost like California or New York, maybe even worse. So I think they're starting to ease off the restrictions, though. So hopefully the border will open up and I'll be able to travel freely unvaccinated.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're certainly pulling for you to be down here, and it'll be a lot of fun. We've got great speakers. We've got Robin McRae and her husband, Pat McRae. We've got Matthew Delf. By the way, Matthew Delf is going to be our guest next week on Scary Chat. It's going to be wonderful to have him on here. And then we'll have him on Scary Cast the week of the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. So we've got a lot of great things going on. And then, of course, on our show, the week after Matthew Delf, we've got the one and only, the queen of the Bigfoots. We've got Robin McRae. And I'm so glad we're going to have her. She's just such a good friend. She's like my sister. She really is. And love her to death. And you're going to like her, too. You've never met her, but I know you've been on many podcasts with her. So she's a sweetheart. She's one of the nicest people in the world. And, Robin, I hope you heard me say that. I hope you get to hear this podcast because we love you to death. So, anyway, tonight we've got an important, important topic. It's about black swan events. So, Mark, can I get started and give a little bit of background on?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Now, what I'm doing is I'm quoting from the very famous financial website, Seeking Alpha. We all get our newsletters every morning from Seeking Alpha, and we check out what they've got to say because they really do know pretty much what's going on. And they talk about, well, what is a black swan event, or what is a black swan? The meaning of a black swan event, it really has a historical origin. It was widely thought that only white swans existed, and it wasn't until 1697 when a Dutch explorer found black swans in Australia that assumption changed. The event was unexpected and profoundly changed zoological theories. More recently, the term has been attributed to certain stock market events. In 2007, a mathematician and former trader named Nassim Nicholas Taleb used the term in the title of his book to describe rare and profoundly impactful events that happened in society. He explained that not only were the events unpredictable and rare, but that people had simplistic explanations about the events after the fact, as if the facts were predictable. But they certainly were not. And here is, I think, the most important thing. Here is the stock market black swan theory. There are three characteristics to an event such as this. The financial event is mostly unpredictable. The financial event has a widespread impact. And investors rationalize the event in what's called hindsight bias, which makes it seem like the event was predictable. Well, that's what we are having right now. We are flat out in the middle of a black swan event, or we're at the beginning of a black swan event. and that is the fact that inflation is going berserk. Now, sure, you can say, well, it's the Biden administration, it's this and this. Well, of course, that's why. I mean, even pundits like Dick Morris, and I love Dick Morris, you know, they analyze this thing correctly, but they're looking at everything after the fact. They're saying, oh, okay, it's getting bad, and it's a black swan event. Nobody predicted it. Nobody predicted that it would happen in February and March of 2022. So what is happening? Mark, are you ready for this? I want to tell you what's happening. You ready?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Gas prices are going through the roof. Now, everyone could have said, well, because Joe Biden stopped production and exploration of gas, it was going to happen. But nobody said that when Biden put those executive orders in. Nobody said that. And gas prices are now predicted to hit $8 a gallon. They're already $5.50 in California. Here in sweet little South Carolina, we've got gas prices that look like $4.05 to $4.25. And that is about 15 to 20 cents higher than they were earlier this past weekend. So, I mean, they are just going berserk. All right? So we've got gas prices. And consequently, transportation prices are going berserk. Mark, how do we get our food? What brings our food?
Get it through transportation, truckers.
Truckers. And what I can tell you is diesel is now $5.35 a gallon. It's crazy, and it's only going to go higher, and so is gas. So it's like, what are we going to do? Well, we don't know, but we are at the mercy of this upward spiral of gas prices. And it's not going to stop. I mean, I hope it doesn't get – it could get to $9 to $9.50, almost $10 a gallon, maybe in California before something happens. But we don't know, and we are in the middle or in the very beginning stages – of one of the most profound black swan events in the history of American economics. Nothing since the great stock market crash of 1929 has ever happened like this. I mean, when Donald Trump left office, Donald Trump had gas prices at an average of $1.67 a gallon. It's gone berserk. Okay? So now, the last thing are gold and silver prices. Because I don't know if you're aware of this, but gold and silver are the true barometers of the worth of a currency. Now, silver has started gaining momentum. It was $22 an ounce 3 weeks ago. It is $26 exchange. I don't know what it is right now. It was like $26.40. A little bit ago when I checked, and it is just going up. And I am putting every available piece of cash that I have into silver because that is the true – I believe silver is the true measure of the value of the dollar, and the dollar is declining like mad. All currencies are going to be declining in this interim because, you know, we've got a hyperinflation. Silver and gold are going to tell us the real value of the dollar. And we are looking at we're looking in terms of gas, $8 to $9 to maybe $10 a gallon. For silver, we're looking at almost $60 an ounce for silver. And these are my predictions, and I'm sticking by them. And I know that when I make a prediction on a scary cast show, like I'm doing tonight, I'm going to have to pay the piper if I'm wrong. We're looking at $50, $60, $70 an ounce worth of silver. We're looking at $2,500 to $3,000 per ounce of gold. I mean, this is nuts. And that's what we're looking at. We're at the beginning of a black swan event. It is catching like COVID did 2 years ago. It's catching like mad. So, Mark, that's what I am looking at as a certified hedge fund professional, as an investment professional. this is what I see, and I'm putting my money where my mouth is because I am buying as much silver as possible because I am terrified of what's going to happen to the United States economy and all this. Sir, what do you have to say? How do you respond to my comment?
Well, I heard of so we know like the common things that are kind of like that you were mentioning, gold, silver, and obviously everybody knows gas prices. One price of a stock that I saw the other day that kind of frightened me was the price of wheat. The price of wheat has gone up 60-70% in the last month. Now, you know, you look at...
I'm going to stop you there, and I'm going to say, what feeds America? What is on every aisle in the grocery store? What one commodity is on every aisle of the grocery store? What is it?
Yeah,
wheat.
Wheat's the most common when you think of like the most common kind of food, basic food thing we have, right? But I think it's just like
All right, Mark, I'm going to get silly, but I'm being accurate and honest. Who doesn't eat their damn Fruit Loops?
What's Fruit Loops made out of?
Two things, wheat and sugar. Oh, my God. Sure, have you seen the price of sugar? It's almost doubled. So what I'm saying, and then you got to get it to the manufacturing plants. Jesus, what a mess. All right, please keep on. I'm sorry, but I had to interject. I had to talk about the Fruit Loops because I hate to tell you this, even though I'm on the keto diet and I've been successful, what do you think I have up there in my cabinet? What do you think?
Don't know.
I got a box of Fruit Loops. Come on, man. So when I have the craving, I can open that box of Fruit Loops. Oh, my goodness. Okay, go ahead, please.
So that's really concerning as well as other things. But, like, you have to ask yourself, like, what's causing this price to go up? And is it because there's going to be a potential supply and demand problem, that we're not going to have the same supply and the demand's going to go up? Is that what's causing it? And another thing is all the things that – the ingredients that's used in fertilizer to grow crops. There's this stuff called urea and something else. But that's all imported from places like China and Russia. They're the major suppliers of the basic things, the fertilizer in our food. Without that fertilizer, there's no food. So is this
But I do want to interject this. When transportation costs go berserk and double and triple and quadruple, it's just added to the bottom line.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just when a number of factors that are, you know, not seemingly correlated at all, but are, you know, all the factors start, like, having consequences on each other. It becomes like a cluster F-word of, like, things all together that affect each other in the same. For example, like the gas moving food, affecting food prices and other things affecting that. You know what I mean? It can just be like a correlation, a network of consequences on each other that, and then add a war into it and add, you know, the Fed printing a bunch of money every year, record numbers, you know, devaluing the dollar. You know, I think that's like the major things that's causing these factors that are causing this inflation.
Right. Now let me ask you something, and this is an important question. What is Canada, because you're a Canadian citizen, what is the, quote, printing money situation in Canada right now?
Well, the spending is just ridiculous. We have a Liberal government, which are notorious for spending, but during COVID, like the last 2 years, they've spent more money, this guy, than all other prime ministers combined. So the printing is just ridiculous, and they blame it on COVID, obviously, right? That the you know, all that money was going towards, you know, helping us. It's always to help, right? But in reality, there was very little as far as, other than just like giving us money, like because we were out of work, they gave us money. So they're like, look, we helped you during COVID. But meanwhile, I think they misspend and sending a bunch of our taxpayer dollars overseas and probably to offshore accounts, like because once the money goes outside of the country, it's untraceable, right? It's not bound by our legal Canadian legal law anymore. I think it's just massive corruption and systematic kind of destruction of our country and our sovereignty.
That's funny. Yeah, that's right. Country sovereignty. It's hard to tell what it is, but there are problems. And right now, Joe Biden last year said that the big problem and the reason for inflation was COVID. Okay. This year, he said, oh, it's the war in the Ukraine. In other words, he's got a, you know what? I'm going to tell you that I have two main phrases that I always talk about. Number one is, if you can't see it, it's not there. And if someone tells you that such and such is happening, and if you can't see it, well, it's not happening. At least for you, it's not. The other phrase that I've got is that I've had a brain lockup. The other thing that I want to say is that because of I tell you what, I'm going to have to pass this ball off to you until I get my brain together, because I do have these brain freeze ups occasionally. But I'll pass this baton on to you, and I'll come back. Okay.
Okay. Well, I think you were onto something there, where it was like, the problem is always somebody else's fault. They never take responsibility, and it's a lot easier to blame something like COVID or Russia, like a situation, than it is to actually, you know, own up to the fact that our leaders are a lot of the cause of these problems. And I think a lot of it is just like because they're just ineptitude. But as well, I think there's a lot of corruption as well, like cronyism going on there. And there's a lot of, like, the markets are really controlled as well. So I think they're just making billions off us. Meanwhile, the middle class is getting screwed. And a perfect example of this is, like, in the real estate market right now, like, the middle class, if you're middle class right now, good luck trying to buy a house, especially in places in Canada where the real estate market's inflated like 20-30% in the last year. And it was already high before the prices. Like, now it's just impossible, unaffordable. We've reached that, crossed that kind of Rubicon of, like, when houses are just now unaffordable for the middle class, right? And meanwhile, the rich people who have a lot of property or whatever are making a killing because the inflation's, they have the property, which are going up 30% every year. And it's like now they don't care, right? Rich people don't care because they're the ones who own the properties that are going up like ridiculous. But meanwhile, the people who are at the bottom of the mountain trying to climb up and trying to get their first steps up the mountain in life, it's like now they're permanently screwed. And I think that's major. It's going to reach a major breaking point in that regard, where separation between upper and lower class becomes more and more and more. And what was middle class before is now the lower class, because things
By the way, I want to report that the price of silver is now $26.68 an ounce. It is up almost $5 from 3 weeks ago. I mean, that is incredible. And I'm going to probably buy the last silver I'll be able to buy tomorrow morning when I call my broker. Because I'm going to tell you, when silver starts escalating, gold is escalating. In fact, I'll give you a report. You can talk for just a minute, and then I will report on gold, okay?
Okay.
I love doing this in the middle of a podcast, so that kind of timestamp what we're talking about.
So we'll get
the price of gold, and I'm sure it is escalated beyond whatever. It's taking a little while for my phone to get with us, but that's okay. You keep on, then I'll break in as soon as I get the price of gold, okay?
Okay. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the price of silver and things. I think that's something that holds value really well, especially during uncertain times. It's a good place to put it, and as well, as well, when the price of, like, when the money becomes more and more worthless because it gets devalued, the dollar, you know, I think having the, your money stored in something like silver or gold is probably a good idea. You know, it's really uncertain with things like wars going on in the world right now. Like, if China invaded Taiwan, Taiwan is the biggest manufacturer of semiconductors and computer components for microchips. If that war happened, I think we would see another potentially, like you're seeing, these black swan events. But it's just accumulation of a lot of things, and potentially the whole tech sector, everything technology-wise, which is a big part of, like, you know, our Fortune 500 companies, I think could see a major hit. I think that could really affect Silicon Valley, and just now everything it has is computer based. So, you know, down the road, it might not just be this one thing. It might be a combination of things, like a 1-2-3 punch of different world factors. Like, obviously we saw that with COVID, but at the same time, I'm kind of optimistic. Like, right now I have a little bit of money in some ETFs, and even if the market takes a kind of a hit or does a major correction, I just do an averaging in strategy, so I don't have all my eggs in one basket at one time. It's just like keep adding in every month, and so even if the price dips even 40%, you know, then just like we saw in COVID, it rebounded, and potentially that there's an opportunity for good for making money there too, even if there is a major collapse or economic collapse, stock market collapse, or major correction that happens.
Exactly. And I'm actually having a problem reaching Kitco.com, which is where I get my gold and silver prices. I mean, it is apparently they are overloaded with people watching what's going on with silver and gold. So, you know, who knows? Hopefully we'll have a price for gold here shortly. But, you know, the fact is we are in the middle of a black swan event. We don't know how big this event is going to be. And everybody's so many – I'm not going to say everybody. I mean, I'm on the edge of my chair about all this. But some people, that they don't even care. You know, they go, well, I was talking to one of my attorneys. He said, well, I got my 401k invested in this and this and this. And I said, why isn't it all in silver and gold? Gee. He said, well, I don't know. I said, okay, that's fine. I'm glad you don't know, because I'll do better than you will here in this whole mess. So anyway, it's just kind of fun watching how people don't really care about their investments, and they don't keep track of things. I mean, I kept track of things to the point that I wanted to become a certified hedge fund professional. I did that about 10 years ago. I learned a ton of stuff. I mean, it was unbelievable what I learned. And I did it so that I could take care of my money. And so many people, they don't really care about that. I mean, as a licensed agent for Transamerica, I help people build wealth. And when I talk to them about what they can do, they say, oh, okay, well, I got to go cook dinner. You know, it's like they don't care. Well, they will care one day when they don't have as much money as they think they should. And others of us have been working hard to accumulate money, and it's just the most amazing thing. But anyway, I'll close down on that one for now. And so now we're really talking about one of the hallmarks of Scary Chat, which is conspiracy theories. And I know you love conspiracy theories as much as I do, don't you, Mark?
Yep, absolutely. How often does
conspiracy I'm going to put you on the spot here. Tell us about one of your favorite conspiracy theories. Can you do that?
Yeah, sure. Well, the current one now is, I guess, with the whole vaccine that's going on. Like, was that part of, like, what was going on with that? It seems like now they're coming out, Pfizer, with all these information that the vaccine was kind of fast-tracked, and like they kind of like manipulated data in it, and potentially hid the potential side effects that's happening. So That's the one I kind of have, you can call it conspiracy theory, but you can just look at it as like, you know, thinking rationally, like what's going on there with that whole thing. And are we going to potentially see a lot of people dropping dead from the vaccine soon?
A lot of people are dropping dead that have had the vaccine. It's a fact.
Yeah. And or, I'm thinking it'll be a number of things like increase in cancer rates, increase in other vascular issues and neurological issues. But as well, I think we're other things potentially with the reproductive system as well. And I think it's really concerning. I think it'll more and more will come out over time, but by that point, people will be so distracted with something else that they don't care. Like right now, it's Russia, so nobody's even thinking about these things right now. Everybody, all the news attention is on Russia and Ukraine. So it's like, it's really convenient when something like that happens, when all of a sudden information comes out about, you know, the thing that they've been pushing hard the last 2 years, like, is potentially compromised. Studies that were done to push this thing on us were compromised and was manipulated. Data was manipulated, essentially fraud, to push something that they were trying to push on mandatory on us, at least in Canada. I know in some places in the States they are too. But in Canada, they really came down hard on us for this mandatory vaccine. Like, I wasn't allowed to go anywhere, restaurants or – I'm still not allowed to get on a plane or a train, public transit, because I'm not vaccinated. We have a little vax card. People do. I don't, obviously, because I don't have it, where you have to show to get, like, they had to show to be at a restaurant, the front people, or you had to show to fly a plane. And you have to ask, like, what's this? It's kind of like a reward punishment system that's happening. In psychology, that's called apparent conditioning, where it's through positive or negative reinforcement. You manipulate people or animals, even it's common in animal training, to condition them, train them to a specific type of behavior. And what essentially this is doing is just conditioning us to authoritarianism or totalitarianism through technological means, technocratic means. And where this is already happening in the world is somewhere like China, which is called the social credit system. For example, if you speak badly against the regime, or if you jaywalk, or if you don't pay your bills on time, then your social credit score goes lower and lower and lower, and you get punishments, or you're not able to do as many things, or as many things as well. So it's a punishment system, and what that does is make everybody condition them into following the rules of whatever mandates or governments said. For example, vaccine. Like, if you get a vaccine, now you have certain things you're allowed to do. It's like dangling a carrot on the end of a stick in front of, like, a donkey. You can direct the donkey to anywhere through a promise of a reward. In this case, like a carrot, right, dangling in front of the face. But in society, it's, oh, the reward. Now you can go to nightclubs, or you can go to concerts now if you get the vax, right? And I think that's a dangerous route to go down. It's like a corporate rewards program that, you know, you have no choice but to be in, essentially. And that's essentially what it's come down to. If we don't have control over what goes into our bodies, like, that's the most, like, precious thing we have, like, control over, is what goes into our bodies, consensually. You know, you think about, like, imagine in an office, like, the boss, like, saying its secretary, if you don't, like, get with me, you're going to be fired, right? Or if you get with me, I'll give you a bonus. That's like coercion. Well, that's unethical coercion, unethical persuasion techniques. And that's what I've faced, at least in Canada. I know a lot of places in the States, like Florida, other places, they weren't so much like that. But in Canada, we very much were. And it was really frightening and troubling to see that. And the government really just, like, weaseling themselves into our daily lives and literally invited themselves into our house. Like, they told us we weren't allowed to have, like, more than two guests in our house for Thanksgiving or for Christmas. So they were like the house guests that never left. Once they invited themselves into their house through their mandates and authoritarianism, and control over our lives, then it's really hard to kick that guest out. It's like the guest that never leaves because they always have their foot in the door with something else. And that's what I've been in Canada speaking a lot against and fighting myself. For example, my page, I don't know if you've seen this, John the Maskless Man, like I go to stores and Starbucks and grocery stores without a mask on because here it's mandatory still. So I'm trying to fight that regard. And I believe that that is just a war on our identity because masks hides our identity and our face and our expression, our ability to communicate. So it's kind of a war going on our basic humanity.
Well, it certainly is. And at least down here in the States, we're looking at, I believe I've heard, who knows what he's going to do, but I've heard that Joe Biden is going to lift the mask mandate. I can tell you, in South Carolina, we don't have any masks. And I was just at the Irish Festival in Camden. There were about 8,000 people there. No one had a mask on. And I want everybody to hear that. We had a festival with 8,000 people outside of Columbia, South Carolina in Camden. No one had a mask on. I want everybody to hear it, and I hope you get mad as hell and have a stroke over it. But nobody had a mask on, and that's just the way it was. Nobody cared about that. I remember a lady sat down to get a caricature, and she said, you know, it's so wonderful not to have to wear a mask and have beautiful weather. And I thought to myself, you know, honey, you're right. Nobody's going to get COVID out here. The wind was blowing. It was beautiful. So, I mean, you know, it just wasn't going to happen. Even the master of ceremonies, the one and only Dr. Trey Dunaway from Scarycast, he didn't have on a mask. Not at all. Nobody cared about that. So everybody, you know, all these weirdo politicians just need to stop this. But they're not. They love the weirdo politicians love the control of making people wear masks. It doesn't do any good. It's been proven they don't do any good.
Yeah, and on my page, I talk about this all the time where I think the masks actually spread the virus more because if you watch, like, somebody in, say, a mall or, like, a gas station or somewhere else, they touch the same things that everybody else touches, the same gas pump, the same doors, the same ATM machines or Interact machine. Then what's the first thing they do when they go out of the store? They touch their face to remove the mask. So essentially they just brought any potential contaminants right to their face. And then they put that mask back in the pocket with other things they touched. And then they touch it again to put it back on their face, you know, after touching a bunch of other things. So it's just like total cross-contamination. And I believe that's actually made the virus worse. Or made the situation worse, as well as providing the right climate and the right habitat for the virus and other microorganisms and pathogens on the face, like a humid environment for that to incubate, essentially, right there.
That is true, and I agree with you. So I mean, it's like, you know, the masks are essentially the harbingers of. Yeah, they are.
Yeah. As well as
depending
the other things.
Tell someone that's got one on, they'll just lay into you.
And people are really identify themselves with the mask, and it's almost like I call it a virtue signal, where it's like a flag or something on their face that's showing off their identity, and showing off that they're a good person. I think a lot of people are self-conscious of their face and, you know, their looks. They don't like how they look. So masks is kind of like their safety blanket. And I think a lot of people are reluctant to take it off or will fight you if you don't have one on because, at least here in Canada, I get a lot of dirty looks, a lot of people saying things. And it's just like, you know, I think it's just because, in a sense, it's like a defense mechanism in psychology. It's like you've made them feel uncomfortable in some way on a psychological level. So it's called displacement, where then they get angry at you, or you face, like, you know, a Karen, you know, those types of people.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's just interesting. I mean, people go around. They want to have their masks on, and I think they want to. I believe they think that they are going to do something positive for themselves when they're not, and they won't listen to reason. And so the best thing to do is ignore them and try. Like, I have a client, and so when I go over to her house, she throws on her mask. Well, you know, she's, you know, that's great. And I don't have my mask. I have not had COVID. And we just keep going. So, I mean, I don't know what to say to it. But anyway, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good.
I had COVID. I had COVID back in, was it October there? And all it was for me was like a headache for a few days and a slight cough for a week. I've heard of people that have gotten this vaccine, and they've had problems for months from it. It's like, and other people I've talked to got so deadly sick off it too, for like, and were bedridden for like a few days. And some of these things, stories I've heard from friends and people I know, it's just like, wow, like that sounds worse than the actual virus itself. Now I know this one was potentially bad, especially for old people or compromised people. You know, it's not a good thing, but I think for just a general healthy young person, I don't think there's any concern for this. And what we did in society was a total overreaction. It's like a neurotic mother that's like, you know, overparents their kid. You know what I mean? And then the kid never leaves the basement because they don't have any skills because they've been overparented the whole time. That's what authoritarian states is. We don't want to live in our parents' basement our whole life. We want to eventually graduate and move out and be freedom. Like, that's pure freedom, right? And control over our lives, independence. But in society, we're kind of regressing, I think, when the government has so much say in our lives.
Yep. I mean, I certainly agree with you there. So I tell you what, I think we have certainly enjoyed our conspiracy theory talk tonight. I hope you've enjoyed my take on the Black Swan event. And we are in the middle of a major Black Swan event. It is cranking up. It is getting worse and worse and worse. It's like, I don't know what to do. But I think it's exciting to understand that we're in one. And if anyone doesn't agree with me, let me know. Dr. J, I just send me an email at jwstamey@gmail.com. You don't like what I said, but I think I'm right. And I've got enough training to believe that I'm right. So, Mark, what would you like to say to close our magnificent discussion tonight on Scary Chat?
Well, you know, there's that famous quote from an old book. I don't know the one, but it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. I think that's potentially what's that from?
Great
Hemingway or something like that?
Okay. Charles Dickens, Great Expectations.
There we go. So that I think that will encompass kind of what will happen is that there'll be a potential crisis, but as well, there's going to be lots of opportunity as well. And I look always like look at the future is going to be optimistic, and potentially some of these white swan events or major crisis in the stock markets or whatever are just like hiccups or growing pains, you know, in society, and maybe it will, out of crisis, good opportunities will come for creation and moving forward.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, I have certainly enjoyed our talk. I got to get some opinions out there that I think are well-founded and very real. You've gotten to get some of your opinions out there, and that's what this is about. Now, next week, next week will be the 15th of March. We will have Matthew Delph on for 90 minutes, and then on the 22nd of this month, we will have Robin McCrae, the famous psychic and Bigfoot experiencer. She's a wonderful lady. She is truly one of my best friends. I love her to death. She's kind of like you, you know, just my life wouldn't be the same without Robin McCrae and you and some of my friends. I mean, because I count on you guys to keep me straight and keep me moving forward in the right direction. So I want to say thank you very much, Mark, for being on the show tonight as my partner and my co-host. And we're going to have a great show next week. And will you be on ScaryCast on Monday night? I hope you will be.
Yeah, I should be there.
Well, good. I mean, I can't remember who our guest is, but we got a good one. I think it's probably Pat McCray, Robin's husband, because he did such a good job. I wanted to have him back. He's here. I love the Bigfoot experience, especially with the Georgia Bigfoot Conference coming up. And I will go ahead and tell everybody that we're going to have the Georgia Holistic Conference that will be on September the 24th in Clayton, Georgia, at the Rabun County Civic Center. And then on September the 3rd, Bigfoot Christmas at the Rabun County Civic Center. And it's going to be marvelous. It's stars of all people, international best-selling author, New York Times best-selling author, Tory Martin will be there to read sections from his book, Bigfoot Yeti Christmas. That's what he calls his book. And then I've got a musical we'll sing for everyone. It's going to be called Blessings from Bigfoot. It's going to be just a slam dunk home run event for families, kids of all ages from 8 to 80 or 8 to 90 or whatever. Everybody needs to come. Georgia Bigfoot Conference this coming April 16th, the Georgia Holistic Conference on September 24th, and of course the one and only Bigfoot Christmas on December the 3rd. So look, Mark, we'll see you next. Will we see you next week? You better be back with us.
Yeah, I'll be there. Same bad time, same bad channel.
Same bat time and same bat channel. You say it the same way I do. So, number one, thank you for being here with us. It's always a pleasure to have you. Don't freeze. You know, I'm sorry. Excuse me. It's 57 degrees here in Myrtle Beach, and I'm freezing. So, you better watch out, and you better bring some light clothes when you come down here for the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. But thanks so much for being with us. We love having you, and we had a great time tonight. We'll see you next Monday night on ScaryCast, and then you and I will be back on Scary Chat on Tuesday. So everybody take care. It was a blast, and maybe the British lady will say thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye. Well, maybe she will. Maybe she won't. We'll find out.